time once again for Sports Sidebar, covering sports for Northeast Ohio and sometimes even a little outside that area. Sports Sidebar, where we prove that a little knowledge is dangerous, but even less knowledge makes it a little easier to fill an hour. And now on to our hosts, Captain Bill and Dave. And good Tuesday afternoon, everyone. And so far, it is a good Tuesday afternoon.
Are we finally going to start?
Yeah. I mean,
this has been like snail's pace today. Everybody's been kind of slow.
Yeah, it's the heat. It's the heat.
It is warm outside.
Yeah.
It's beautiful outside.
It is.
And
Sunday, it was like, my car said it was like 92 degrees outside. Even my car didn't want to go out.
92 on Sunday.
That's what my car said.
Mine said 437 and a half.
Yeah, well, yours is in centimeters, so what can I say?
92? I don't think it was 92.
That's what my car said. I just said, I'm just repeating what my car said.
Well, sometimes those car thermometers.
I can't figure out how they ever work, to be honest with you.
Well, they measure it, the temperature. And
yeah, but where is it? Where is it? It's down by the engine somewhere.
It's in the luggage rack.
It's in the luggage rack.
You didn't know that?
No.
It has to be ambient. It has to be outside.
I can't.
Are you denying that I know this?
I am not denying that you could be making it up.
I'm not making it. You asked me where it was. I said it's outside.
That's what you said it's outside, yeah.
Well, and if the sun's beating on your car, especially the luggage rack, you'll notice it's going to be hot. But then when you
I don't know why I have such a hard time believing that.
And once you get going, it kind of, because even at, you have wind chill, right?
Right.
Wind chill, even at 90 degrees, is going to cool it off. That's the way it works. But I don't know how they detect that. There must be some thermometer guru somewhere in the automotive industry that decided that the luggage rack was the best place. Now, not all cars have luggage racks, so I would imagine.
Yeah, that would knock out some cars.
It would. I would think that the next place would be in the horn.
That would be a noisy temperature.
Well, I'm telling you. Prove me wrong. Just prove me wrong. Anyway, it's warm, but it's too hot. I don't like it this hot.
Especially before Memorial Day.
Well, it's going to go back into the 70s, I think, this weekend, which is good. And that's the kind of temperatures I like. Now, the nuclear-powered pontoon boat. I'm tired. Two games today. I ran the marathon backwards yesterday. On Sunday. Backwards, I tell you. In Cleveland.
Okay.
Backwards. So I'm a little pooped. And anyway, where was I?
Okay. You're looking I have.
You're going to stop my blather.
I have three things here. You know, there are different types of temperature sensors in a car.
Oh.
They are located in different places.
Oh.
So far, you're not wrong. The temperature sensor for the thermostat is usually attached to the thermostat. I didn't care about that. The outside temperature sensor is generally located under the front of the hood near the bottom of the car, behind the front bumper grill, below the driver's door, or in the door mirror. That would be very close to your
the horn.
No, that would be very close to your luggage rack type thing.
Well, mine is in the luggage rack.
Okay.
95% of them are in the luggage rack. I don't care what this thing says.
I think that almost makes more sense that it's somewhere like that. And then the sun beating down on it should make it seem
hotter. Well, you go next to like a bank or some of these places that have the temperature and the time. The Beacon Journal used to have that.
They did. You know, and I actually have some video of that. I was out one night with a camera.
Wait a minute. Whoa.
I was out one night.
Boy,
when I got my new camera.
What an exciting life you led. I mean, going out and seeing the Beacon Journal time temperature.
Now, this is when it rotated around.
Wow.
Even. You know?
You're too wild for me, man. I tell you.
That was when it was cool. Now they just had a digital.
Did you just sit there and have a beer?
No, I was going out and I was getting different nighttime video shots of Akron. And I asked someone, oh, yeah, let's just get some of this. And went around about five times and that was it.
Wow. I'm envious of you. I really.
Most
really
people am. Are.
Well, I was. Well, how many years ago was this?
Oh, man. Had to be.
Before the TV show.
So
before the smartphone?
Yeah, pretty much. Mm-hmm. Some people had cell phones, but they weren't smartphones. Most people did not have the cell phones. And that's back when they charged you. If somebody called you, if you had a cell phone and somebody called you on your cell phone,
yeah,
you got charged whether you made the call or somebody else did. Mm. And they said, call me on my landline.
So what did you do? Just get a whole gang of you and say, let's go down to the Beacon Journal?
No. I
just wondered.
No, it was just me, myself, and I. So I guess there was a gang there. Mm-hmm. And I want to see how well this films at night. So I went around to a few different things. I think I went to the Goodyear clock tower there. Mm. And the Go Goodyear.
Whoa.
I got that. And
I don't know.
Well, I was just wondering.
I just don't know how you recover from such excitement.
Well, I'm testing out a camera. I'm testing out some new equipment. That was my first.
Do you still have this?
I believe I do still have this, yes.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
It's in one of those. Yeah. That's when my first video camera that I did the show on was one of those mini DVDs. It recorded right onto that.
Okay.
So I still have some of those, and that was one of them.
Well, I enjoy just sitting there watching a moth going around a light bulb. That really turns the excitement on for me.
Fine,
and watching it crash into
somebody who doesn't do any kind of photography or videography, then I can understand.
Well, how do you know I don't?
Because you're bored with it.
No, I have to admit, I have never gotten into photography.
Yeah.
I haven't. I admire people who do, like yourself.
Well, Alex is an amazing photographer.
Oh, is he?
Oh, yes.
So, another thing, when those flies land and they rub their...
Yeah, they're
little legs together. Yeah. That would be exciting too. I mean, you should do that.
Well, only if I can get them just before the fly swatter comes down, and they look up and go, "Help me!" Pop,
Yeah. What's the purpose of a fly anyway? I mean, I guess they do eat decayed
stuff. They break down to decayed.
Birds must like them. They're a good source of protein, I guess. But they have bad habits.
They have bad habits. Oh, yeah. I mean, the raccoon may be a dirty, disgusting thing, but it washes its food,
It does, because I remember this. When we had our little Boston Terrier, and we had a dog door, and I got up one morning, and the water bowl, excuse me, I should use the cough button, the water bowl was just filthy. So... I said to Gabby, what did you do?
Mm-hmm.
She looked at me. I didn't do anything.
Of course, yeah.
So I came back down. Sure enough, there was a raccoon taking her food and washing it in her water bowl.
Yeah.
And the thing looked at me. I said, get out of here. It looked back at me and gave me an obscene gesture.
Oh, they do.
Oh,
you know.
I tell you.
Yeah, they.
I said, you.
They have a middle claw they put up at you,
So get out of here. He gets out. Okay, I'm finally ready to go. And the raccoons in the living room, dining room, we had some bread, trying to get loaves of bread off the dining room table. And I said, get out of here. He gave me an obscene gesture again. So I had to do something. I had to put the thing in the door. So there's like three of them trying to open it.
Yeah.
But I trapped them. It's illegal to trap raccoons in the state of Ohio. And I did not know this. Because they need to be caught and euthanized.
Right. You have to. Okay. You're supposed to. If you trap them, you're supposed to kill them. Yeah.
I couldn't do that.
Yeah. Me either. The Portage Lakes Park State Park got a few extra raccoons because of me.
Well, me too.
and apparently, neither of us got caught.
And I guess it's not good for them. But I have a clear conscience that
I do too. They're not in my attic now.
No. I knew I had a problem with a tail sticking down from the soffit. I said, oh, my God, get out of here. Squirrels, too. So yeah. How I found out about it is that I definitely had a raccoon problem, hired a trapper, a home trapper. No, a squirrel problem. And one day he took the squirrels and put them in the back of his truck, and there was a raccoon there. I said, oh, you can let this poor guy out? No, he's a dead raccoon walking. Why? Well, by law, I have to euthanize him. The poor thing looked at me and said, help me. Help me. Help.
Did you help it escape?
No.
I didn't think so.
Well, I didn't want to break the law.
But. And, well, no. By letting it go, you weren't breaking the law.
Well, next thing I know, it would be in my house.
Well, that one is the part that I knew.
Well, they're very smart animals, but
they're very lazy too.
Well, they tend to cross the street at the wrong time.
And the look they have on their face when they get struck,
So,
like the surprise of, what? There's a car in the road? And that's what they look like.
Well, some
surprise
people,
look on their back.
Well, they're going to end up as roadkill. I mean, some people eat that.
Some people do, but yeah. Those are mostly John Davison's relatives from down south.
Well, they eat everything down there. Right?
They do.
But if you get them fresh, you can't let it out there today and then be baked out there for 4 or 5 hours. You're going to get really sick. But I saw the other day a raccoon being consumed by a vulture right to the right berm of Main Street. An ugly-looking bird.
You shouldn't talk about our politicians like that, city politicians.
Well, I know.
Like that.
It was the mayor, too. Or it could have been one of the candidates running for president, but I don't know. I don't know. Anyway, we haven't talked a thing about sports.
We haven't. We can get into that. Well, we were sporting animals, things like that.
Oh, raccoons are sporting animals?
Oh, there were, wasn't there not raccoon hunts? Coon hunts? At one time?
Yes, there was, but I didn't know what that was. Hunting.
It wasn't around here.
But. And hunting encompasses all kinds of turkeys. It's turkey season right now.
It is turkey season. Getting there, you're getting a full load of wild turkeys, I guess.
Yeah.
He always knows, doesn't he?
And the rabbit, too. The rabbits have to.
Yeah, what's up, Jack?
So I'm golfing the other day, on last Thursday, at Loyal Oak, in the back nine.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's number 13. But anyway, there was a whole flock of turkeys back there.
Really?
Yeah. And they said, we're safe here.
Yeah.
We're safe here.
No, I've hit them with golf clubs.
No, but the way I was hitting the golf ball, they were
not safe. Yeah,
no,
yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I guess, I don't know why, they're very tough birds to eat, the wild turkey.
The wild turkey?
I don't know. Have you ever had a wild turkey? I drank wild turkey.
I should say, I've had the liquid kind, but.
So. since we're talking about game.
Okay.
The fish thing.
The fish thing. It's still not been.
It has not been determined.
It has not been.
And one answer did come out of the article. They were in Ohio casting from a dock or the bank.
Ah.
So
yes.
That was
an Ohio fish thing.
It was an Ohio fish because if you are on the bank of the Ohio River, you're casting into the river. But anything tethered to the fishing line is Ohio.
Right.
So the catfish decided, I want to be the largest Ohio catfish ever caught.
So it came over to this side and got caught.
So I got caught.
Probably on purpose.
Yeah. But they were using I happen to have it here. A trot and float line, which was never used before to catch the other biggest fish. So they're determining the fish academy of... There's a fish academy.
A fish academy,
yes,
okay.
Yes. That pays union scale, by the way. I just want to,
Scale? We pay scale?
Scale,
okay. I got that.
The head of it is a guy named Gil. Anyway.
There actually was an animated series called Fish Police.
Fish Police?
It was, and John Ritter was
Fish Police.
One of the fish police, yeah.
Well, there is fish.
He may have been Gil. He may have been Gil.
Well, the Ohio Department of Natural Resources. That's part of their job is monitoring fish catch and whether you got a license or anything. This young lady's, they're going to let her keep the record, but they're determining whether this particular trout and float line should be a separate category. And rather
so
than
what exactly is a trout and float line?
I think the anchor, the anchor, the weight drags the bottom and lets the, lures float,
okay,
and then the catfish catches that rather than casting it out, and the float hangs from the water down.
Now, I long time ago, my grandfather we would go out to one of the bigger reservoirs in Lima, and it had like its balloon thing. It wasn't just a thing because I don't know. I guess that was for the bigger fish. If it caught any bigger fish, the balloon But it was like a not like, it says a weather balloon, but something like that. Like
they used a balloon to catch a fish?
I think so, yeah.
They had the, that's what they used in Jaws.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. You remember that? They used those barrels.
Oh, yeah, the barrels.
Barrels,
yeah.
Yes, and Jaws. Which, this thing, dun, that barrels.
Dun, 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 dun,
did
dun.
You know?
Yes.
I mean, you probably do, because you're pretty smart. That the woman who was chewed up at the beginning of the movie just passed away.
She just has passed away.
Yeah, she was in her 70s.
And do you know the most iconic line in that
yes,
film
I
was,
do.
Was made up by Roy Scheider?
Yes, just like in the movie with Jack Nicholson. You don't know.
Oh, yeah. The way he took the words, you can't handle the truth.
Yes.
You know, he retorted that back. That was not the line written.
No. Well, anyway.
And without that, I don't think you'd ever remember that movie, because whenever they post it and stuff, they go, you can't handle the truth.
No, it was a little before my time. Just
and most people remember, we need
Demi Moore.
I think we
Demi
need
Demi Moore was just
boat.
Gorgeous.
Yeah, she was, that's when she was married to Bruce Willis, right?
Yeah. Anyway, she was very attractive. She probably still is. I haven't seen her lately.
Actually, she looks very much like she did back then.
I think
some of those Hollywood gals, they don't age very well. I mean, very much.
Well, they have ways of taking care of certain
things,
I guess. But that was a good movie, and what you're talking about, we need a bigger boat.
Yeah.
Which was a classic line.
It is.
I think we're going to need a bigger boat. That was a great movie, really. That scared the bejesus.
One of the early Steven Spielberg. You know, the Carolinas hated it because their tourism dropped off to nothing when that movie came out.
I don't understand, because it was based in Amityville, New York.
Yeah.
And, that was one big shark. It was a big shark.
Big fish.
Big fish. So, anyway, that's sport. Fishing's
the fishing
sport.
Is now that makes second time in all these years we've talked about fishing.
Well,
it was the same thing.
Well, it came up. I think it's just talking about just going back. It's not coming back for the second time. We're not talking about the huge
trout caught in Snake
River in the Wisconsin. Or
I think we talked about one time with the guys who cheated up at Lake Erie for that.
Oh,
so we may have talked about it that time.
Yeah, we did.
And they all got caught.
Boy, they went to jail.
I think they did.
Well, they did.
Because the prize money that they accepted really almost turned it into a grand theft.
Well, it was grand theft, because you're going to get like $25,000.
Something like that, yeah.
So they put weights and other more fish inside the guts of somebody. Wait a minute, this fish doesn't feel like it's 100 pounds. Hold on there, Bubbly. So, yeah, they caught it. A guy tried to do this before from Pennsylvania, but don't fool around with your fish. Be honest with it. Be honest.
Yeah, I don't really understand why they do that. But
well, because they wanted to make the money. Cheaters never prosper.
Actually, they do until they get caught.
Yeah, you're right.
Then you tell them good luck in prison. You know?
Yeah, and you have enough attorneys, you can keep out of jail forever.
delay.
Anyway.
Yes.
What do you want to start talking about?
Actually, I think the big talk, interesting topic I heard, and they really had kind of a panel going on early in the morning on the fan about should Bickerstaff go or stay? And the big question was, what do you have to replace him with?
John Blair Bickerstaff, JB.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, let's look at the series. They weren't going to win against Boston.
And look how they even did that last game when they had three of their starters out?
Well, you had Caris LeVert, the sixth man, which was a key player on a basketball team. You had
Mitchell was out.
Yeah, Jarrett Allen was out with the ribs. He didn't play in hardly any of
the
game. No. And you had Donovan Mitchell, the superstar of the team.
And yet we played better than that game than we did in the first one we went to Boston, got blown out.
Yeah. So you hear all kinds of different things that Kobe Altman, the president of the Cavaliers, blamed Bickerstaff for using Mitchell too much.
During the season?
Yeah. Well, wait a minute. Don't you use your star player the most? I mean, I don't understand that phrase, you know, my gut instinct is that they're going to keep him. I mean, usually when you're going to fire him right after
the season's over.
And I guess there was some controversy in the locker room about how people were rotated and so on and so forth. But that, I guess, comes with the territory. And I mean, once we get done with the show, we can turn radio off and, well, JB Bickerstaff's been fired.
He's fired, yeah.
You're right. I don't know who's out there. I mean, I got to listen to Sam Amico, who is a basketball guru on The Fan, coming in today. And he feels that they're going to keep him, but they should add a more, like an offensive coordinator to his staff. I don't know.
Somebody that can step up and take over.
Yeah. Now they have it's amazing. You got 15 guys, you got 7 coaches. Let me get them with,
they can get rid of all those coaches and hire one wife. They're good at telling everybody what to do.
Oh, you're right about that. You know, it's hard for those of us who are married to compete against perfectness because everything they do is perfect. Everything we do is imperfect.
Yes.
And if you ever call attention to their imperfections, now, not all the time. Boy,
you don't want to do that.
You don't want to do that.
Yeah.
But I did that the other day, and half my ear is gone. So, but I just told her, I said, gosh, the challenge of being married to such a perfect person.
It brings back to the unanswerable question, which there is an answer to, is that if a tree falls in the woods and there's no one there to hear it, is it the man's fault? And the answer is yes, it is.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now, I guess we are being old folks about this, but...
We love our wives. We love our wives.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yes, but sometimes you just, you know, what did I do? and she said, well, you're doing this and that, and you're deflecting. Oh, I said, then I go into, you've been watching too much of The Real Housewife. You got to stop.
She does. She watches that.
Oh,
yeah.
She sure does.
Oh, yeah.
It's deflecting. I don't know. I'm just speaking with the truth. You can't stand the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
If I said that, I'd be here, living right here.
Oh, my.
Anyway. I think Bickerstaff's going to stay. Now, it was an interesting discussion. I don't know what they talked about in this panel, but the feeling from Sam Amico, who has followed this team very closely, is that Altman's going to re-sign Donovan Mitchell, and he thinks that's going to happen. The other question is that, the rumor is if they re-sign Donovan Mitchell, Darius Garland wants to be traded, which I can understand. I mean, he's... Now, Mitchell just dominates.
Yeah.
And, you know, Garland's not going to flourish. I think they were good friends and everything, but it was like, you know, Kyrie Irving said, I can't flourish with being...
He hasn't been able to flourish on any team he's been.
Well, he does.
He's an amazing player, but boy, by the time he leaves the team, they're ready for him to go.
Yeah. So there's all kinds of possibilities of if they sign Donovan Mitchell, which he gets a max contract. It's like $50 million a year for 5 years.
Yeah,
that's a pretty good. You can fly back and forth to New York a lot, huh?
You can, yeah.
And so I'm all for that. I'm all for them re-signing Donovan Mitchell. He's a superstar, in my opinion. Doing something.
Let me ask you this. What would this team be without him this year?
Oh, they wouldn't have gone anywhere. I mean, he gets hurt.
And he does.
Yeah. But if you have I think the front with Allen and Mosley is a good combo.
Yeah.
They just got to get somebody else in there to help Mitchell that can work with him more, a different style of player. And who else better than Bickerstaff to do it? He's led us from getting to a play-in to the playoffs.
And he was there the year before and we didn't make it.
He got us into the first round last year. No, it was 4-1 then. He got us into the second round this year, and we played Boston pretty well the second game. But everybody knew without Allen, and especially without Mitchell and LeVert, you're not going to beat the likes of Tatum and some of these other guys.
No, and Boston's the only number one seed left in the playoffs right now.
Yeah,
because the Pacers were a sixth seed, Celtics are a one. We'll see how that goes. The Mavericks were a fifth seed, and the Timberwolves were number three.
Yeah.
So there's only one number one left.
I think the Celtics will take it all myself. I really do. They got an excellent basketball team.
Do.
And the home court there is just so good. But you never know. You never know. On any given day on the court, you never know. Who would have thought we would have even won one game at their place?
Yeah.
So I want to keep Bickerstaff. Other people, there's fans that, you lose, you're out of here.
Yeah.
But you're right, you make a good point, which is hardly.
It's unique for me. It's unique for me.
Is who they replace him with? Who's out there that can do a better job?
That's what another guy from the national media that calls in there from time to time said, look, you keep him. And it could be they're waiting around before they make a big decision to see who else might be let go at the end of the season that might make a good coach here, head coach here. Now,
you're down to four teams.
Yeah.
Two in the West, two in the East.
There haven't been a lot of firings, though.
There hasn't been a lot of firing, except for the guy from the Suns who got fired after 1 year, which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And he got him to the playoffs and had the best record in years, so they still fired him. So I don't know who's out there that would be any better than Bickerstaff, and that's a question that Altman has to address. Now, if Altman wants Bickerstaff to play Donovan Mitchell less, then tell him, okay. I was doing the best what I thought was best for the team by playing him, and he's our best player, and he gets us going.
But need to have a certain amount of wins to make it to the playoffs, period.
Yeah. But Donovan Mitchell can't be the one that scores the only points like in the fourth quarter. In one of the games. You can't do that.
Yeah.
Strus didn't come up. George Niang didn't come up to standards. Sam Merrill, who was lights out during the season.
But not only was Celtics one of the top teams in offense, they were also a top defensive team as well.
Oh, yeah.
So that takes a lot of players out of their game.
Yeah, yeah.
One thing they usually don't do in the NBA is play defense.
Yeah. So you try to make every effort you can to sign Mitchell. And according to Sam Amico, who follows, I think that's going to happen, which is great. Now, what they do with the coaching staff, even, Altman has not been re-signed, too, as the president.
That's right, yeah.
So the owner, Gilbert, Dan Gilbert, has to make some decisions, but he's a pretty prudent businessman. I'm sure they made ton of money.
Right, and he in the past has been a lot more aggressive in this department than he has been the last four, since the stroke, which is 3-4 years now. And the loss of his son is another thing, and his son Nick, who was an exciting part to some of the drafts, and
he was. He had character.
He had character, absolutely. Yeah, for a young man that young, he
had unfortunately a very medically challenged youth, and that finally caught up to him. But Gilbert seems like a classy man. Now, he did lose it when LeBron left, but we all lost it when LeBron left the first time. Now, there's even speculation out there that...
Yeah, because he came back for that Game 6 in Cleveland.
Yeah, so he came back. So, oh, my goodness. So
he's coming to Cleveland. He doesn't come... That's what somebody was saying to him. He doesn't go somewhere by accident. No.
Nothing LeBron does is doesn't have some strategic worth.
Yes.
So he comes to the game, and everybody says, okay, he's coming to Cleveland. And they're going to draft Ronnie in the late first round. Voila, you got.
I looked at Bronny's numbers, and he is not NBA ready.
No, he's not
ready to sit on a bench in the NBA yet.
No, he needs to spend another year in college. I mean, I don't know. He has to make up his own. First of all, he doesn't have to worry about money.
No.
But I would think talent-wise, career-wise, he's not that tall. He's 6'3". That's tall, but not in basketball.
I mean, his dad was that in the seventh grade, but okay.
So so he's going to be a guard, a shooting guard or a point guard. So does he spend another year at USC or goes to Ohio State? Or does he go to the Geely
guy? Yeah, because he isn't actually in the protocol.
Yeah.
So he's not officially all in yet. He could still withdraw from the draft.
Yeah.
And well, keep his status.
He got cleared health-wise.
Yes.
To go into the NBA.
But he's only played, what is it, a couple dozen games, I think. Which is more than some people play in college.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I have no idea. And they talk about other teams getting him and stuff like that. I truly believe, look, there's nothing left for LeBron James to prove, right? I mean, there really isn't.
No.
And what team
can except that he can hold back Father Time. That's about it.
Yeah. And he's done a pretty darn 39 years old and he still plays it. He averages 25 points a game. He averages
most almost NBA figure. Players would die to get the numbers he's gone down to.
Yeah. He's broken the
most of the records out there. You know, if he plays another year, most of the records out there will be have his name on it.
I truly believe he's the best basketball player of all time. I mean, that's my opinion. The guy from Akron, is the best of all time. You get, you know, the Jordan purists and Kareem Abdul.
Jordan couldn't win in the playoffs until they got Scottie Pippen. And Jordan helped orchestrate that. He took a salary cut or deferment or whatever in order to restructuring and deferment in order for them to be able to pick up Pippen. Mm-hmm. But, you know, up to that point, you know, I'd seen a couple articles that said the Bulls will never make it past the first round because of Michael Jordan. He's too good, but he doesn't have enough help.
Yeah.
And then he, I don't know whether he saw it or what, but or just knew it. I mean, he's a very smart guy. He's not a guy that acknowledges LeBron as a great player, though. He doesn't do that.
No. I think LeBron always recognized Jordan as
a great player. He has. And he recognizes the greats. He is actually a quite astute in the history of basketball.
Yes, he is.
Far more than most players, I think.
Yeah. Well, he's got the it factor. He's got all around.
Yeah.
Now, and there's talk about after he does leave for him not to be in the broadcasting booth. I can't see that happening. But actually in ownership.
I think he'd rather own a team than be in a broadcast booth.
Or general manager or something like that. I mean, ownership, and something goes wrong, you can fire the GM. you don't usually blame the owner.
Right.
But
we do.
Oh, yeah. Well, they deserve every blame. The Browns are talking about. I give Gilbert credit for being patient. I mean, those records of the first 2 years of Bickerstaff's tenure were bad. I mean, but he stuck with them. Now, when they're making progress, they're going to fire him? I don't know. It doesn't make any sense to me. But firing a coach in Phoenix after 1 year didn't make any sense.
Especially got him to the playoffs.
And got him
one of the top records in the West.
And he got 4 years left on his contract, making like $5 million a year. I mean,
good for him.
What a deal.
Good for him.
It's like that Jimbo Fisher down in LSU. He's $75 million left on his contract. Give me a break. How can you just pay somebody for doing nothing?
And you know, and a lot of that I think is starting to turn because of the NIL in football.
I don't know, but that just tells you there's crazy money out there. Just crazy money. And
well, again, they couldn't give it to the players and wouldn't give it to the players even if they could. And they still had to spend a certain amount of that money. So they give it to the head coach. You know, it's absolutely crazy because that's why in every state in our country, either a college basketball coach or college football coach are the highest paid state employees.
Oh, yeah. No doubt about it. And they make so much money, like the coach from Alabama who retired, Nick Saban, that they can go off into the sunset and just be in the broadcast booth. And you know, I'm sure he makes $2 or $3 million just doing that. But getting back to the Cavs, I think they stay the course. They tweak the team. Sam Amico agrees. We have some good talent on this team. We really do.
That's what they're saying. You know, you've got a good set, and you need to tweak it, but you've got a good set of players there. So they can still grow.
So you can't. Yeah, they're. Well, you can't use those too young.
Look how much Mobley has matured in 1 year.
Yeah, he's only 22. He'd be just graduating from college.
What basketball players don't graduate from college, do they?
They used to. No, I think Michael Jordan went back and got his degree. I'm not. Don't quote me on that, but I think he did.
No, but I mean stay in for the 4 years.
No.
Yeah.
Why would you?
Why would you?
First of all, you see players all the time now leaving college programs when not even playing in the bowl games, knowing if they get hurt, their chances are getting into the pros.
Yeah.
You may not like it, but you have to understand their logic behind it.
Yeah.
And if they're going to play a useless bowl game
and get hurt,
I mean, and bust a knee, that could cost them millions and millions and millions of dollars.
Yeah. So you don't blame them, but it's a bit of a disappointment, I think.
Well, I don't get disappointed. Why do you get disappointed? Huh?
That's what got them there. That's what got them
there.
Well,
why are you disappointed?
Because I think they should play it, but I know they don't. I know why they
okay,
don't.
Okay, put yourself in.
I understand.
No, you don't.
It doesn't mean
you just wouldn't. You wouldn't say that if you understood.
I do understand.
You said
but
you're
that doesn't mean I have to like it. Look, it took a long time to get me to let some of the NFL players sit down at the end of the season. You know, it took you a long time to get me to see that, but I'm not ready to let the college players do that yet.
And the NBA, too.
And the NBA,
You're not going to take a chance on your star players being hurt.
No, I want the other team's star players to have a chance to get hurt.
So we shall see what happens to the Cavs. I would think something will materialize in the next week or two. It just seems to me that normally the Monday or the few days after a team loses a playoff or the season, the cuts start to happen. That's what they do in football. It's called Black Monday?
Sunday. And some of them don't make it to Monday.
No. What that guy from the Browns, who actually didn't think he was going to get fired.
Oh, yeah. And then he lost one win in 2 years, and then he was halfway through the season.
He had
like 3 wins, which is already more wins than he had in the...
Oh, the guy that was kind of like a...
Hugh?
Countryman.
Hugh
Jackson.
Hugh Jackson, yeah.
Hugh. And then they hired that one guy who thought he could handle Baker Mayfield better. And he honestly thought, after going through a horrible record, that he was going to be hired. There was coaches before that who got on the plane and got a call. So you're done.
Freddie Kitchens?
Freddie Kitchens, yes.
Now, see, the thing, Freddie Kitchens was just at a perfect storm that year when he got elevated and they lost their offensive coordinator and their head coach and would have lost their defense coordinator, but somebody convinced the Duvises, you can't fire everybody. Somebody's got to run that team.
Yeah.
And they let the one guy run the team who was basically blacklisted from running the team.
Greg Williams.
And he got the chance to run the Browns. And the offense, he gave the offense to Freddie Kitchens, who was
a tight end coach.
Yeah. He handled at that particular time Baker Mayfield better than his predecessor had. Yeah. But then they came the next season and Baker said, I know more about this game than you do. And he does, you know, but,
I don't know. Freddie Kitchens, I don't even know if he's still on basketball.
As far as I know, he's still with the Jets, I think. But I don't know for sure. His name popped up somewhere last year.
I heard he went to the country, so he's now Country Kitchens.
Country Kitchens.
Yeah,
and those are all gone, you know.
Oh, they are?
Yeah. Freddie, I'm sorry. I lost his last name now. Freddie Kitchens, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's see what's going on there. Freddie Kitchens, okay. Charles Frederick Kitchens.
Oh.
Let's see why he didn't go there. So where is he now?
He's smoking salmon.
I am looking. I don't see head coaching. I know he's not a head coach now. Come on. I know that.
No,
people.
He's not a head coach.
He's a North Carolina. He's a tight ends coach and run game coordinator. He's been there since 2023.
Good for him.
So he's still got a job.
Yeah.
I mean, and you know what? And he should, but he never should have won. He was already in the league 12 years.
Yeah. He's fine.
Before he became, quote unquote, offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
And had he not meshed with, for that half a season with Baker, he would not have even had the opportunity to apply for that job.
Yeah. Well, speaking,
I feel bad about Williams. He did not get to apply for it. They didn't. They gave him a token short interview. But again, basically, he's been because of the targeting of quarterbacks.
New Orleans,
not in New Orleans. He was banned for at least a year from even any kind of coaching.
Yeah.
And he had never had the opportunity outside of Cleveland when they were. He wanted to fire everybody.
Yeah. So anyway, we.
And come back to Hugh Jackson. It just kills me that.
Yeah, he was shocked he was going to fire.
Well, that's because he didn't answer to the general manager.
He answered to D.
Yeah, he didn't answer. He didn't answer to Jimmy. He answered to D.
And Jimmy said, "D, he's got to go, darling." And I said, "All right."
All right, get in the doghouse.
Yeah. Well, well, she's perfect, and he's not. So
that's right. Yeah, the tree falls in the wood.
Yeah. Ooh, anyway, the season, the regular season, has been announced.
It has been. Yeah.
You want to go over it?
We can do that. It's we have one of the, I was going to say one of the toughest quote unquote schedules. They put Steelers up higher than that because they didn't have questions. But
it's in the middle of the pack.
Is it in the middle pack of difficulty?
Yeah, yes.
Then why is everybody making this whining noises about it?
Who's everybody? I'm not whining about it.
Well, all these articles about, oh, these are the toughest schedules in the NFL.
Okay. All right. Here we go.
Okay.
The first game is against Dallas at home. That's Tom Brady's debut as the color analyst for.
Yeah. You're right. It'll be interesting, but again, you got to get a little bit of game in before you get comfortable with what you're doing.
Yeah, you know, Greg Olsen did a pretty good job. I mean, he got kicked out down to the second team, I think. But you're not going to pay a guy $35 million to be the second.
$35 million
a year, yeah.
To be an announcer.
Yeah. It's almost as much.
When he started in football, he didn't make that much as a quarterback.
We make $35 million Turkish lira.
Turkish lira, okay.
Which is $1.25 a year. Anyway, second week at...
But you got a graze?
Second week is at the Jaguars, which is going to be a hard game. The Cowboys will be a hard game. And then the third week should be the Giants come here and... I don't know if the Giants have improved or not. I have no idea. The Raiders, we play at the Raiders. That could be a tough game. The Commanders, I don't know if they really did anything to improve themselves. I have no idea. But when we get closer to the season, we will do our complete analysis, which Las Vegas follows very closely.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. Then the Eagles really fell apart last year.
What are the odds on that are?
With the Eagles?
No, with Vegas listening to us.
Oh, even. Even money.
Even money.
Why wouldn't they?
I mean,
why wouldn't they? Well, you know, you're a Debbie Downer sometimes.
Sometimes
I am. They use all kinds of different inputs. They use analytics. They use Sports Sidebar. And everybody else.
Jeez.
Week 6. The Eagles at Philadelphia. Well, it depends. I don't know what the Phillies are. They fell apart last year.
They did.
Week 7, the Bengals. The Bengals with Joe Burrow coming back. That'll be interesting. Then we play again. Week 8, the Ravens.
See, this is what I don't understand. We play these teams twice.
Yes.
Why do they not have them up front and the last games? I know we're usually at the last games, but, you know, sometimes you're talking like a 3-week difference between playing them and 3 and 4 week difference between playing them and playing them again. Where there's 17 weeks here, gang. 18 weeks when you add in the bye week.
Is that a problem for you?
I just think sometimes a team is different at the beginning of the season than it is at the end of the season.
That's profound.
Well, it is profound. But the thing is, if you bunch them all together, you're playing the same team at the same level.
Well, we don't know if they're bunching them together. It's still only week 6 or 8.
All right.
So hold the coffee. All right.
Can I use a cup?
Week 9, the Chargers. Boy, we play 3 games in a row at home. Week 10 is the old buy. Then week 11.
That's a good time for buying.
Yeah, 11-17 at Nolens. I have no idea how.
I don't either.
Then week 12, the Steelers. So you're right. I may be bunching these teams up. Then the Broncos. The Broncos have been an improving team. Be interesting with their new quarterback and everything else that they're instituted. Then, again, the Steelers. So just 1 week separates the...
Why?
Why not?
Why?
Why not?
Because. You should have them separated. Especially, you know, some people get up so much for that game. It's 1 week in between, you know.
So just, you don't think they can cope with having...
They're going to take who... They're going to watch whoever they're playing. I understand that. But I just think... Yeah, sometimes the teams are so different at the beginning of the season than at the end of the season.
Then this way they aren't, because they're only going to wait a week or so. So there. Yeah,
that doesn't mean I have to like it. I don't like it.
That ruins your argument.
I don't like it. How's that for my argument? I don't like it.
Okay.
Okay.
Week 15.
15.
Kansas City at home. In Kansas City's... As long as they have Mahomes and Kelce and that whole coaching staff, they're pretty good. Then the Bengals again at Cincinnati. The Dolphins at week 17. Then we finish the regular season at the Ravens. So preseason, you really care about the preseason, it doesn't matter.
No.
And
you're not going to see any of the lead guys in their preseason, except if somebody needs to knock a little bit of rust off, you know.
It's going to be interesting. You know, of course, it all centers around Mitchell and what, I mean, not Mitchell, Donovan, the other guy, the massage guy, Donovan,
Watson.
Watson, yes. We were talking about Mitchell earlier, so.
We were, yeah.
So I don't know if Chubb will be back, when he'll be back. They have a Chubb bobblehead during the year, so I assume he's going to be kept. You wouldn't cut a guy.
You got his bobblehead
for.
Yeah.
No. But, you know, I was looking at the paper, and of the 25 best games predicted by USA Today, the Browns aren't in any of them. You know, big games like I'm trying to think of the Ravens and the Bengals are rated as one of the biggest games coming up this year. Nothing like that for the Browns.
Really?
Yeah. 1 through 25 was looking, and the Browns weren't in any of the top 25 predicted most important games of the year.
Now, what primetime games do they have?
You know, I don't know.
Oh, they don't have that on their
schedule?
They do,
but I'm too lazy to go look back. Okay. I think they got two or three.
I was thinking they had closer to five between Thursday night and Sunday night and Monday night.
You want me to go
back? No, I like it.
So, then, yeah, I'm sure that's going to be a big game for Tom Brady. That'll draw in an audience.
That's going to bring a lot of people in just to their interest in that. But that's not the national game, I don't think.
That's a 425 game.
Oh, that is? Okay, that's a national game.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So let's see here. What we got here? We're going to count them off here. 4:25 week one, 1 p.m. week two, 1 p.m. week three. Not looking good there. 4:25 on Sunday week four, 1 p.m. on week five, 1 p.m. on week six, 1 p.m., 1 p.m., 1 p.m. on the bye week, it's much later game. Then it's...
Well, bye week, they have no game. You try to get that past me. Huh?
At week 11, the Saints, it's 1 o'clock. Then we have an 8:15 on Thursday, on week 12, the Steelers game. Is our first prime time game.
But they have emphasized that some of those games could be flex scheduling.
Right. And
which means that...
It depends on how well they're doing during the season.
So a 1 o'clock game could be an evening game on NBC or Amazon or whatever.
Week 13 is 8:15 on Monday. That's a Monday night football game. So they go from Thursday night to the next week to a Monday night. And then Sunday at 1 o'clock is the Steelers again. And then the Chiefs is 1 o'clock. Thursday, another Thursday game on week 16 with the Bengals. Week 17. See, a Thursday game is always isn't that flexible. because there's only two teams scheduled for that. An 8:20 Sunday night game for week 17. Because I was talking to somebody, said, well, we don't have any prime time. He said, well, yeah, we do. Baltimore Ravens, that must be one of the flex games because they don't have a time for that one.
To be announced.
And then you got the preseason. Who gives a
whatever.
A mouse's butt about that, yeah.
A mouse's butt.
A mouse's butt.
I bet you a mouse.
I wouldn't give a mouse's butt. The mouse might want to get a mouse's butt, but I don't want to give a mouse's butt.
It's just three games to determine who's going to make the 50th, 51st, 52nd, and 53rd positions on a team. They're not going to really risk anybody in those preseason games. They risk too much just practicing.
Yeah.
These guys are like thoroughbreds. All it takes is like a hit, and their muscles are so tight and strong that one slip, they can pull a hamstring.
They're like the thoroughbred. They have to take them out in the field and shoot them. Yeah. Oh, no, wait.
That's just the governor of South Dakota.
To a poor little puppy.
Can you believe that?
Well, the puppy wasn't trainable, so.
Oh, my goodness gracious. All you have to do is turn him into a shelter or something.
I mean, yes, yeah.
You take him to a pit and shoot a puppy?
Yeah.
Well, it's pretty much ruined her career.
People love
their dogs.
Yes, and a lot of people around there saying, we don't do that. It says, and when we have to put down a horse, we don't shoot it. A doctor comes in, charges $45, which is what the medication costs.
Yeah.
You know,
and it's the most humane thing. Why would you even write that in a book?
You know, I guess the publisher tried to talk her out of putting it in there, and
well, it just shows that she's got, you know,
she's got to show how tough she is. I'm so tough, I can kill a puppy.
We need more.
That's
people.
All it was a puppy.
Gosh.
Anyway.
Yeah. Speaking of thoroughbreds, Seize the Gray won the Preakness.
The Preakness, yeah.
Yeah. Don't give a hoot about that. But,
I
thought the other one, Dan, whatever Dan was, Dan Forcoli or Steely Dan, was going to win the Triple Crown, but I don't know anything about horses.
Yeah, but no Triple Crown this year.
No.
Nope.
No. They even have Triple Crown at the Monroe Falls anymore, that restaurant.
No, it's been closed for at least 10 years. Yeah.
Oh, I thought they were going to revive.
Well, they did. As far as we know, a mother and a son are on the bill as now owning it, but they've never, ever gotten it opened.
Hmm. Oh, well. At one time, it was a very good restaurant.
It still looks really sharp. Drive by there fairly often.
Yeah.
It's in great shape for something building has been abandoned as long as it has.
Yeah. Well, we saved the best for last for the Guardians. The Guardians are playing excellent.
They are. And still, you know, we keep saying, well, it's early. But, you know, the longer it goes on, it isn't as early.
It's not early now.
No.
Memorial Day is kind of the benchmark time where the teams kind of show what direction they're going. Now, it could collapse. Every team can collapse. But right now, we're 13 games over 500. The Yankees with that payroll should excel.
Yep.
But the Yankees have the best record in at least the American League. I don't think Philadelphia is doing outstanding. But otherwise, we're getting good pitching, timely hitting. We took 3 out of 3 against Minnesota. We swept Minnesota,
who was knocked them down quite a bit. The only one that's still really kind of right there breathing on us right now is the Royals. Now they lost the Twins lost 3 games. They went from 2.5 games back to 5.5 games back by coming to play us, and we swept them, especially with that exciting walk off.
That was 3 runs. It was tied. I don't know if you had. I was listening. I was listening to the broadcast. And what a ninth inning. I mean, Class A missed an easy underhand throw from Naylor. He dropped it. That would have ended the game.
Yep.
And then the guy came in to tie it at 2-2. I said, oh, no. So he got the last out, and they got 2 guys on. And I think it was Freeman. He just hit a 3-run home run. That had to be nuts at that stadium when he did that.
Yeah.
So, gosh, they're doing it with a budget that's minuscule compared.
Well, what's funny is, the beginning of the season, we kept saying, well, it's early, but White Sox are doing really well. White Sox are before Memorial Day here, 16 games out.
Yeah.
Of our division.
Yeah. I mean, who else? Detroit's kind of sinking. We still have four teams in 500 or more. So.
Right.
But Memorial Day, usually we're saying, okay, Terry Francona, we're usually second.
Time to start picking up, Terry.
It's starting in this year. We're almost, wait, I can't say that, but Terry who?
No, because if he were still wanting to be there, I'd be behind him 1,000%. I would.
You would?
Yep. Maybe 1,001%, you know. That's a pretty high percentage.
Okay. Just trying to look through my notes. I had something in here. Oh, okay. But anyway, no, the pitching's been outstanding. Jose Ramirez, I got to get the box score. His average is starting to come up a little bit. When he swings the bat, it's pretty incredible when he makes contact.
And now he's got Naylor protecting him.
Yeah, he does.
Because you don't want to pitch to Naylor either. That's the whole idea behind Crest, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, we're not exactly... doing great hitting, but you know, Freeman's at 222, Jimenez is 277, Ramirez is 253, but he's come up 12 points in the last week. Naylor's 252, he's having a little bit of a struggle. I mean, this is a huge season, right? I mean,
yeah.
You're gonna have ups and downs. Brennan, 231, Floreal is gonna head down to the minors here very soon. Laureano is gonna be cut, I think, pretty soon, in my humble opinion, which is very humble, by the way.
Very humble.
Arias is batting 220. Hedges, though, Austin Hedges is a great defensive catcher. He better be at batting only 128. I mean, that's pretty bad.
Yeah.
And Rocchio is batting 213. So they're not they're just having a good mix of hitting. Timely hitting.
And
when they do hit, it means something.
While they have runners in scoring position, they are very good.
Yeah, so
getting a guy into scoring position is not always the easiest thing, but when they get there, they a lot of times get him home.
So Jose Naylor is leading the league in home runs. Jose's not far behind. I think he's pretty much up there on RBIs too.
Right. If you got that many home runs, you've got RBIs to go.
And we're
with
doing
it.
This without Kwan.
Yeah.
Stephen Kwan, which is...
And boy, was he coming on like gangbusters this year.
Yeah, yeah. And he'll be back. I mean, he, from what I understand, is starting his rehab with full force. He could be out for assignment in the next week or two.
Okay.
And once he gets that, he'll be back. I mean, I don't know...
Part of assignment is to see, is he still hurting? You don't know sometimes until you go out there and play again.
Yeah. So, it's... That's the way. He's a thoroughbred. I mean, a hamstring for a young man that strong, and it's just hard to believe that he has a hamstring because they stretch and stretch and stretch and stretch. Even as old guys, with relatively speaking.
Relatively, yeah.
When we play. You know.
Like if you're clone, we're out
there.
Yeah,
yeah. We don't get hamstrings too much once in a while, but you do some stretching before you get out there, and it should help. So, but like I said, these running backs that pull muscles all the time.
Yeah.
It's just that their muscles are so strong and tight that it doesn't take much to pull them. So we'll see. We shall see. What else is up?
Whoa. Guess what?
We're going on and on and on.
And we shouldn't be.
Can you
I didn't look to the clock.
All right, we'll go over. Okay, really, really fast here. Once upon a time, there was a king who was only 12 inches tall.
Oh.
He was a terrible king, but he made a great ruler.
There you go. Is that it?
That's it.
All right. That'll hold me till next week when we come back here once again with Sports Sidebar.